You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to our His Dark Materials, brought to you by Swizzbold and Bald Move. I'm your host, Cecily.
I'm your co-host, Alexis.
And today we are discussing the season finale, episode 7 of His Dark Materials, called Asa Hetra.
We made it.
We did it.
We are here.
Yes. Alexis, what did you think about the episode overall?
I knew so many of the things that were going to happen in it. I feel like I almost didn't have to watch the episode. It was cool to see the visuals. I really liked seeing the angels toward the end of the episode.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, and they look just like dust, which I'm sure is not a coincidence. But yes, I knew all the things that were coming, and I was just waiting for them to happen.
So it happened just very much like the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
With some very important distinctions, which we will discuss later on, that I actually really like compared to the books.
Okay. Great. I love this episode. I love the season as a whole. It was much, I can't put my finger on exactly what changed, but it was so much more emotional for me. I felt more connected to the characters. You know, when Roger died at the end of the first season, it didn't jerk as nearly as many tears out of me as Pan discussing Will being her best friend did, you know?
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, it's just really connected. And Lee dying actually was very emotional for
me. You of all people.
Okay, it was the bunny dying more than anything. Okay.
You know what? To be quite frank, it was for me too. I loved Hester.
Yeah, that bunny carried that scene. It was really sweet. Like you were saying before the episode started, three major character deaths before the end of the season. Boreal, Lee, and Jhapari. And they're demons, so maybe five, six?
six. Sad day.
Yeah, sad day. But a lot of good comes into it. Let's talk about that. I want to start with Mary Malone and what's going on with her.
Yeah.
She successfully escorted Angelica? Why can I not say that simple name? Angelica and Paola back to their adults, or at least they're within sight of the campfire. I know we said this a couple episodes ago, but do we think that we'll ever see those kids or their adults again?
So at this point, based on some things that happen later in the episode, I don't think so.
Okay.
For sure, I don't think so this time.
Okay. I think that's true as well, because they're moving on from this place specifically, or maybe onto New Worlds. I don't know. But Mary continues traveling up towards the light, which I think is what she was saying seems like the right place to go. But also, she's following these blue flower petals, or they're following her, which is interesting.
Very interesting. And new.
Yeah. She, as she's traveling, she reads her I Ching again in a cave where, you know, I like to think that Lyra and Will were just there, and she's on this mission from angels, and she's following them but not following them.
Right. There's a lot of this cross lines kind of thing in this episode, and I don't know if it's just because all the sets look basically the same or what's happening, but they seem like they're just missing each other.
It's a gorgeous location. And at one point at the end of the episode, we've got Jhapari running. We've got Mrs. Coulter showing up. We've got all these people. And I think, like, and I'm just gasping at every scene. I'm like, Mrs. Coulter ran into Will. But no, they're just cutting it all over the place.
Right. By the way, I finally, at the very last episode of the season, I finally looked up how to pronounce that system of fortune telling. It is I Ching.
Oh, okay. I think Mary called it I Ching at some point.
She might
have.
Which
is what I probably based it off of. But right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I Ching.
I Ching. There you go.
And the blue petals have followed her there as well, which mm-hmm. is very interesting. It's like a new, it's not witches. It's not, or maybe it's angels that draw blue flowers. I don't know, but it's a new kind of magic. I think we haven't seen.
I think so. And it's not, to my knowledge, it's not something that happens in the books.
Okay. So mystery for you as well.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to have a few of those moving forward.
Let's talk about Jabari and Lee Scoresby and Hester now.
Mm-hmm.
So they, after the end of the last episode, their gas canister was shot out and they crash land and start moving like insects on foot. they're running. They get spotted by the Magisterium, who only brought one demon.
Interesting.
Lee holds off the Magisterium by shooting them back as long as he can while Jopari escapes. He's being shot down. He takes one debilitating shot to the ankle, which makes mm-hmm. it so that he can't run. Then he takes one to the scalp, then to the shoulder, and then one to right about where his heart should be.
Yeah, he gets shot all the hell up.
Yeah.
And we know that it seems pretty unlikely that he is long for this world or any world.
Yeah. I was really rooting for him. Like, oh, the scalp bullet, that's fine. Just this, but a flesh wound.
This is what it takes to get you to root for Lin-Manuel's Lee Scoresby.
Yeah.
It's him getting shot the fuck up. Uh-huh. I see. Okay.
He's a man who's very true to the end, you know, wasn't even fighting for himself, except maybe when he called Serafina with the cloud pine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was unfortunately too late.
Yeah, so. It would have been pretty great if he had remembered that.
Yeah.
Two or three moves before.
Yeah.
He did not.
But Serafina finds him dead and says a little witch prayer over his body. Which I don't know what that does, but maybe they have some influence with wherever you go when you turn into dust.
That's a good question.
Either you turn into a specter or an angel. Okay, I was gonna see if she was gonna confirm or deny anything if I just put it out there like it was fact, but
I'm going to keep silent and wonder at the thunder noises coming from upstairs. Yes, it was just a thought. And I am not gonna confirm or deny that.
Okay, so let's talk about Will and Lyra and what they're up to. So when we see them first, Raina is still alive. So I know we debated that in the last episode,
mm-hmm.
but not for long. God, can you imagine 2 specter attacks in one day?
Bad day.
But that answers last our question day. On what specters do to witches. I think maybe with the knife that Will scared them, frightened them back with, that they didn't get a chance to really kill her, but clearly mm-hmm. they can.
Right.
Pan talks to Will when Will believes that Lyra is asleep. And I don't know if Pan was kind of doing this on his own or if it was like something that Lyra and Pan worked up together to boost Will's confidence, but it was really sweet talking about how he's braver than even the king of the armored bears and that they're best friends. And Pan gives Will a little necklace with half a heart on it. It was just really sweet scene.
It was touching. I don't know where he found that, but I'm glad that he did.
Yeah.
This was so sweet. I know from the book that because of the way that they word things, I know that Pan did go off on his own initially, but Lyra woke up pretty quickly because it's pretty hard for them to both be asleep at the same time, or sorry, the other way around.
Yeah, both be awake at the same time, or one awake, one asleep. Yeah, that's the ticket.
that's the ticket. Now we're cooking with gas.
So Raina goes out to check the forest while, okay, I didn't get this witch's name, but I got her bird's name, Jabbar and his witch. go and check the city of Chittagatsi to warn those innocent people, the innocent person wandering around with the demon and all of the children. But maybe that wasn't necessary.
Seems like kind of a waste.
Yeah. So Will and Lyra are debating traveling on without the witches and just leaving without their knowledge because they don't want to put more people in danger, which is admirable. But as, you know, Pan says later, they've already saved them twice. So, and it also seems like being witches, they could find them again easily. But
it seems like it.
But I get it. The witches don't want to go on this quest to find his father, but Lyra needs to, and they're with Lyra, you know, all that.
Right. This is also another moment for Lyra to demonstrate that she still feels the loss of Roger.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Yeah, she's done making mistakes, or not done, she just doesn't want to, but I think what she's learning is that it's necessary to learn. You can't avoid making mistakes unless you've made some before.
Right. And unless you know which mistakes to not make, you just have to keep moving forward and learning every time you stumble.
Yeah. And I wish
otherwise you'll be paralyzed.
Exactly. She should stop being so hard on herself, because who would have thought bringing your best friend to your father's house would have resulted in his death? I certainly wouldn't believe that.
No, I think most reasonable people wouldn't.
But yeah. Oh, Lyra. So Ruta Scotty returns. We see her early in the episode in this, Mordor, where Asriel's set up camp.
Right. There's like lava and shit happening at the bottom of the, she's sleeping halfway up a cliff face for some reason.
Right. Just sleeping. I understand sleeping, sitting up, but her sleeping like this, it just seems impossible to me. Raina sleeping how she was when Will snuck off, she had like full sunlight on her face. Who can sleep like that?
I don't know.
Sleep through a deadly attack at that. But Ruta Scotty, getting back on point, she saw cliff ghasts who can speak. Was this true in the books? They just seem like animals.
It was true in the books. They have some kind of consciousness. Consciousness, I think, is the word. Let me read my stupid notes. They're an intelligent race.
There we
is
go.
How I said it in my notes. There we go. Christ. Jesus.
Yeah, that really surprised me. Because the way they attacked the balloon when we saw them last episode, it just seems like they don't really have a dog in the race of the authority and angels and the will of men and things like that, if they are this intelligent race. But
I think they're just waiting to see who's going to lose so they know how big their meal is going to be afterward.
Ah, okay. Yeah. But they're very aware that Asriel needs Asa Hetra.
Mm-hmm.
They're betting on him not getting it so they can feast. So Serafina sends Ruta Scotty off to find the Asa Hetra, but it's in their midst the whole time. I was wondering whether or not, when I got towards the end of my notes, I was like, do I confirm that the Asa Hetra is the subtle knife? And I'm like, no, they've done it multiple times.
Yeah, no, it's totally the subtle knife. A cursory Google search would tell you that, unfortunately. If you could spell it right, which... good fucking luck. It's one of those weird old English Celtic words or something.
Where it has like the kerning of letters.
Is that the close kerning of letters?
Yeah.
Where the A and the E are like butt to butt kind of.
Yes. Yeah. So I had to look this up. I did this at the beginning of the season when I was, you know, creating all these articles for all of our episodes. I copied the word from the Wikipedia article, and every time that I've had to write it, I've copied it from that too. Nice. I always spell it right, maybe.
Oh, I typed it out like a fucking nerd.
Nerd.
Got it right.
How did you even figure out those letters?
Oh, listen, I didn't do the letters. I did New English AEs.
Ah.
But Asahetra means God killer, right? God destroyer?
Something like that. I thought it meant like ultimate weapon. Ultimate God killing weapon. Let's go with that.
I mean, yeah, there you go. We're going to go with the Japanese translation.
So Lyra and Pan are walking and talking about how they feel change is coming. And it has something to do with Will, and they're not ready. And nobody really ever is.
It's true. The only way you can be ready is by going through the change. And you can't go through the change without blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So Serafina gets the call from Lee and leaves the kids with Reyna. And we all know what happened there.
Mistake?
So, yeah. 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 If I don't know. It does feel, it's got to really hurt Serafina to have arrived at Lee too late and to come back and Will and Lyra are gone.
Basically everything went to hell within the same like Reyna's 30 dead. Minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad.
So Will hears his father. He wakes him up out of his sleep and he pulls out the settle knife to lead him to him. And they approach each other and finally realize who each other are. They have this emotional reunion where he's upset that he couldn't be there for their family and he couldn't get back to them, but decided to stay after a while. It's not enough time to get all the details down, but, they have this really short, bittersweet reunion before that final Magisterium goon arrives and shoots Jopari in the back. But before that, he tells him that he needs to bring the knife to Asriel, the only weapon, and tell him that it's the only weapon in all of the universes that can destroy the authority.
So, here is how the scene goes down between Will and his dad in the books. They meet very briefly, but then within the same like 30 seconds, a witch shows up who is, I guess, one of John Perry's former jilted lovers or something.
But they recognize each other?
Will and his dad, they recognize each other, but not long enough to say anything because she immediately kills John Perry.
It's got to be some good D.
Got to be some real good D that you super M, which is miss. Sorry.
And kill him right in front of his son.
Yeah, yeah. And then she kills herself because... Of course.
There's no point in living without the hot priest. I get it.
I know. Yeah, totally. So I'm really glad that they changed that. That always struck me as super weird and out of the blue in the book.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot more sense the way it went down here.
Yeah. Give some something because I don't know that Will knows who Asriel is right now. And I don't know that without Lyra there, he knows where to go. Or how exactly to find him. He doesn't have a demon. He doesn't have any witches with him right now. So he
definitely knew who Asriel was because he and Lyra have talked about him before.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they got that deep yet.
Right. But he wouldn't know where to go on his own, which I think we'll see something in the very, very first episode of the next season.
Yeah, I should hope so.
As related to that. Yeah, it's going to be some angels in the outfield. That's all I'm saying.
he's like Frodo with the One Ring right now heading to Mordor.
Mm-hmm.
So before he dies, he tells him that the night is full of angels, which, well, we all saw that coming. And
yeah,
I wasn't
sure
if that meant that maybe he'll meet up with Mary Malone in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And she can help him through the night. But some angels are going to help him. And he finds the shaman jacket and dons it for this very cool shot of him, you know, with the light at his back.
Taking his father's mantle, right? Yep. jacket is a mantle, probably, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Jabari was there to find the knife or aid the person or aid the bearer at some point. I don't know if he ever wanted to be the bearer. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I've got for them. Let's talk about Mrs. Coulter and her unimaginable power that she's gained. She, you know, she's wandering the city after she slept off that wine hangover, and she finds where Lyra was staying, finds Lyra's jacket.
Her stinky, stinky old jacket. And yeah. She huffs deep of the stinky jacket.
And then the witch arrives to warn Coulter that there's some monsters here that you don't want to truck with. And she's like, I am the monster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her monkey pins down Jabar and offers it to the specters, which is insane.
He's very unhappy to do so, but he still does it.
Yeah. And then the specters start fucking with him afterwards.
Yeah. And she lets it happen.
I kind of wonder if she was the one doing it, you know, with the amount of control she has over the specters now. Yeah. I wonder if she was fucking with her own monkey, but beside the point. Before
we all know how prone she is to fucking with her own monkey.
Yes. Sorry. Before the witch dies, she tells her that Lyra is Eve, the mother of all.
Oh, dang. Confirmation.
Yeah.
All of our, we assumed from the last episode, because they're talking about Genesis stuff?
Yeah.
Chapter one Genesis stuff.
Because Fra Pavel said that he was told that by the alethiometer, and confirmation complete. Those specters are so creepy. And the next time we see her, she has arrived at the tower, and they're walking along, and then her monkey's hesitating, and he's whimpering, and it's pissing her off, and mm-hmm. yells at her monkey to get with the program and then kicks it in the ass.
The worst.
Yeah, she's so mean to it, and then she turns around and comforts it. I mean, it's just such a classic manipulation and abuser tool, but absolutely. I really thought for half a second there that she was going to kill the monkey.
I feel like she seriously considered it.
Yeah.
But then sort of realized that she wouldn't be able to keep doing what she's trying to do without her demon.
I think it's for me in that moment, I thought it was very up in the air. She's got such control over herself as a way to close off that part of herself and can even leave her monkey behind that I thought that it was slightly possible. But maybe it still is. I don't know. But I'd be scared to be that monkey. That nameless, non-talking demon.
Oh, hey, well, I think he might have said his first and maybe only word.
What?
In the scene. I think he said no. When they first entered the tower at the base of it, I think he said, you know, it sounded like a monkey saying it, but it sounded a lot like no to me. Oh. And that's when she stopped and like turned around like, are you fucking kidding me with this?
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and watch that scene. Because I don't think it was I don't think it was subtitled if that happened. Or I just missed it.
I wasn't watching with subtitles.
Wow. Okay. A lot going on there.
Yeah.
So she explores the tower and gets to the top and kind of recreates what happened and calls the specters to her at the top of the tower, which is terrifying because I believe she traveled by specter to find Lyra in that cave.
Interesting. I guess that could have been how she got there so quickly.
Yeah, because the specters, I had to watch it a couple of times because the specters, there's nothing there. And then they kind of do the swirly and then she materializes behind them. And it had to be the only way she traveled that fast, right?
Yeah. No, I totally believe it.
And the only way she got out with Lyra that fast. Traveling by fucking specter. She's a terrifying force right now.
So I think at one point before she finds Lyra, there's a scene, or I guess a shot of her walking away from a certain area, and it looked a lot like, to me, it looked like a lot like the top of the campsite that Angelica and Paola took Mary to.
Okay.
So did she literally, to get these spect— I know the answer to this. To you, a watcher. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
a viewer. A viewer of the show and not a reader of the books. Did you get any inkling that she might have sacrificed the adults of Chitagatse to the specters? Because she was walking away from what looked a lot like their campsite. Or is that too subtle?
I think it was too subtle. If that's what happened, okay. I think it was too subtle.
That's what I thought too. I felt like they should have shown at least the edges of the campsite and not just another pile of rocks in an episode full of a pile of rocks.
Yeah. I have to go back and watch that too. I think if it did happen, ultimately it didn't really have an effect on the rest of the episode, but it's really sad.
It's really sad, and it makes her look like even more of a monster, which yep. is not necessarily something we actually need at this point.
Right. I remember halfway through the season, I was thinking that they were doing some kind of redemption arc. She feels bad. She's trying to make things right. No, she's not.
She's still a bad guy.
Yeah. So, kills Reyna for real this time and leaves on a boat with Lyra in a steamer trunk. More questions that I might have the answer to. I don't know. Is it witch magic? Is it latent witch magic? Is it she found a treasure trove of potions and tinctures? Want some to kill, some to put your children to sleep? Maybe it's just Benadryl she found. I don't know.
It's that one. Not the Benadryl, the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it would take a lot to put Lyra out.
For sure.
And she tells Lyra and Pan's unconscious bodies that she's taking them somewhere entirely safe.
No such place, ma'am.
Yeah, I am dying to know where they go. In fact, I might start reading the book after this, the third book.
Oh,
because
interesting.
Taking her somewhere entirely safe, it feels like she's burned her bridges in World A.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the new cardinal has found his power and he won't let himself be walked over by her again. It's not like Azrael has a home waiting for them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like maybe she should have, the safe bet would be just to go with Azrael the first time he crossed over.
Yeah, you would think, but
I don't know. I'm just speculating a lot here.
She's Mrs. Coulter. She has to go her own way every time.
Yeah, dying to know where they go and what friend she has anywhere. Yeah, that's all I've got for her on this episode. Before we get to what might be the most exciting part of the episode for me, I want to talk about our friend Yorick Bernanson.
Yorick!
Just a reminder, yes. He's still out there. His Iceland, which might be Iceland, is still melting. Yep.
It is melting. We see the shot of the sad polar bear watching the fucking ice caps melt before his eyes.
It's like sad angry. I feel like he's always Hulk level angry, but it's a sad angry this time.
It is.
So anyway, he's still there and we're going to see him next season. Definitely. Yes.
Oh, yes, we will, for reasons that you aren't expecting.
Yes. Oh, interesting. It took a second.
Or maybe you will once you read the book.
Yeah. Final scene. Azrael's back. James McAvoy. They got him on a soundstage, socially distanced, for exactly one scene. And it's so good, too. Like, the way he delivers this monologue. Stelmaria. I mean, they're so cool. I hate how cool they are.
Yeah, they're so arrogant and they're just the worst, but they're also the best.
Yeah, that's what you need, and I love it and I hate it. He and Stelmaria call for the angels and they show up.
They do, finally.
Yeah, and they look so cool.
It does. Their wings, like the edges of their wings look exactly like the knife cuts. Into the other world. It has that kind of shimmery, holographic situation happening.
Yeah. And I mean, they look exactly like the Tower of the Angels depictions, you know? Sometimes, right. Like when you draw a heart, it looks nothing like a heart. Sometimes when you make angels, you just imagine what they look like, but they look just like that. I'm expecting them to have like ancient biblical eyes all over their entire bodies.
Yeah, that's only so that's only a certain class of angels or a certain type of angel looks like that. I don't remember the kind. I don't remember if it's the seraphim or yeah. One of the other M's.
But that was cool. They stand with him and he says, "Good."
Of course he does the, oh my God, so arrogant.
So arrogant.
Such a bastard.
But he looks so good. He's got that salt and pepper thing. And
of course, he's dirty as hell, but he still looks like he's in total command of his own power.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. He's covered in dirt and blood, and he wouldn't have it any other way.
Sounds it.
Yeah, that's it for the episode. I've just got a lot of questions about, you know, who's standing with who. If the angels are against the authority, a.k.a. God, then it seems like the path of righteousness would always be with the angels and Azrael. Maybe.
Or are there? So,
Or he did say in his monologue that the angels who have rebelled are the ones he's calling out. So it's like, they're like devils in
a
way.
So we know that there are, yeah. But they're not fallen angels. Factions, right. There are factions of witches. It's totally reasonable for there to be factions of angels too.
Okay. This is
nuts.
Which
makes a war against heaven like that much crazier.
Right. So with those angels and with the knife and with the witches, and it seems like the majority and all clans of witches plan to pledge themselves to Azrael because he wants to undo the Magisterium, which is in, like, is organized religion the problem? Is it the arrogance of man that's the problem here that thinks they can command the heavens?
I think it's the idea of organized religion and the idea of it being the end-all be-all of morality. I think that's what they're rebelling against.
Because I'm kind of with Azrael. I mean, bad choices to get where you got, but, you know, just the power above and ideas and knowledge below doesn't sound so bad. But I don't know. Yeah. He's going to find some way to corrupt it, I'm sure. Ultimate power corrupts, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, that's all I've got for the episode. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I actually had a question for you.
Ooh.
Relating to Lee and Jhapari. As someone who didn't know it was coming because you didn't read the book, how did their journey in this season strike you? How do you feel about it?
It seems like Jhapari knew the whole time what was going to happen. You know, him being playing coy with answers. Kind of the same way people talk about Lyra. You know, there's this prophecy. We all know what's going to happen. We can't tell her, otherwise the steps will be different.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like he did know where they were going and that it was, you know, kind of a doomed mission.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking through the whole season when he was just so chill about every little crazy thing that was happening. Yeah, I was like, okay, they are playing this like he...
Especially this episode knows. Where he looks up and sees the bird and he's like, it's not my demon. Just so casual about it.
Yeah. And yet he still did not know that his son was the knife bearer.
Right.
Just interesting.
And that, I don't know. And the witches still don't have more information than they do. Right. Like, if whatever Jhapari knows, I feel like the witches should know more and have more of a, I don't think intuition's the right word, but, you know, insight into what's going to happen.
Yeah. But we also know that Jhapari experimented with a lot of different things, trying desperately to get back to his world after he came into this one.
Yeah.
Or the previous one, I should say, Lyra's world.
Yeah. Lots of questions about him still.
Yeah, I don't know if witches have holes in their heads, but he definitely does. Or oh, did. Oh, R.I.P.
He got tripped. He had a scar. Paint.
Yeah. Oh. I remembered seeing a scar. I don't know. It was either earlier this season or I guess it had to be this season. Was Jabari in the last season?
Jabari? No.
Not really.
No, he was just mentioned. I think like Azrael, maybe we got a glimpse in the last episode or something, if anything.
Right.
That was cool. I did not realize that. Yeah, he needs like a prequel spinoff. Jabari, the early years.
his whole journey is super interesting, and we never get to hear about 99% of it.
Yeah, I want to know about those jilted lovers and
and now he's dead.
Yeah.
It was just like, there's that character, this very cool character that you've been, okay, I asked you that question, but here am I, because I had strong opinions about it.
Tell me.
It's such an interesting character that we know nothing about to just die at the end of Act Two, basically.
Right. And such a great actor, kind of at like the height of some kind of zenith from Fleabag, you know?
Right.
That.
And his whole.
Just gets this bit. Just a bit. Just a taste. Just a tease.
It made sense to me that Lee would die at this point because he's sort of already. He's found his purpose, right? So I guess you can't make him grow anymore. So.
Yeah.
He gets the axe, but.
And I think yeah, I Jabari knew really. Somewhere. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think I knew somewhere in the back of my head as soon as Will and he found each other. That it wouldn't last long. Because at the same time Mrs. Coulter's finding Lyra, Jabari's finding Will. And I turned to my husband and I said, oh my gosh, their parents are back together again. Everyone can be big, happy families. Like, I knew that in the back of my mind that this isn't going to work out. I just didn't expect it to happen so suddenly. Like, maybe he'd give him some wisdom or... maybe he'd get to see his wife again, and that really broke my heart.
I mean, the sad part is they got way more of a conversation with each other here in the show than they even did in the book. Yeah. It's really heartbreaking, the book. It's literally like within 5 seconds of them realizing, oh, you're my dad, you're my son. I guess maybe he knew that Will was his son the whole time, but Will didn't know that he was his dad because I guess he had never seen a picture of his dad. Oh. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense in the book.
That makes sense because if it was in like early 90s, you can't just watch YouTube videos, you know, like Will has been doing.
That's true.
But, you didn't take any pictures with your spouse before your son was born. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's weird.
Yeah, that's the one that really, you know, no photo albums. So it makes a lot more sense to me the way it went down in the show. And it gives him at least a conversation where he can say, I believe in you, son. And he can say, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Some kind of closure.
Yeah. It was so hard for when they're having that conversation and he's like, okay, we're going to do this and then we'll go home. And the way that Andrew Scott played that, it was just like he put his head down and then he shook his head no. And then he picked his head up and he said, yes, and then we'll go home. Like, you knew he was lying, but that's what he needed in that moment. Yeah. Really, really hard stuff.
Yeah. I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 times.
Yes.
This episode.
Yep. That's a good one. Really, really strong season.
Yeah.
Again,
they managed to get McAvoy in there right at the end.
Yes.
I don't know if they had like some footage kind of in the tank and they just said, oh, let's tack it on to episode 7. Sure.
I can imagine you can't get him on set with everyone else, but if they got him, they clearly got him in front of a green screen and it looks really good.
Yeah, totally. It's believable.
Yeah, and here we were discussing the last few episodes how we're not going to see him and maybe he demanded too much money. They got us. But, you know, it's nice that he'll be back for the next season.
Yeah, he's going to... Oh, man, his role is so big in the next season. He has to be back.
All right, I got to end this podcast because I have to go read this book immediately.
All right, okay.
No. Fine.
I think one of the most interesting things about the season, and it kind of relates to something that you said earlier, you said there were a lot of emotional moments in this season. And I think at least part of that is because there are so few set we were only really in one or two locations this entire time. Like, how many episodes did we spend in the forest with the witches and the kids?
Right.
So many episodes.
Right. Just spending time on those characters. Obviously a lot more budget went to the demons. And I'm being so serious, and I was so serious last season. Like, that's half of a person's soul. They need to be included. And I think, you know, all the walk and talks with pandas and Pan, you know, being a bird, you know, as a ferret, jumping off that rock as a bird to land as a ferret.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff is really important, and it just really makes it real to you, to me.
Absolutely. I can say, based on what I know of the third book, there are going to be like no demons next season. There's going to be one demon. There's going to be Pan. That's it.
Pan, who's going to be settling any moment now. Hopefully it doesn't happen between seasons.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
Because that's how things work.
Off-screen settling.
Yeah, what if Lyra does hit puberty and she comes back as like a woman next episode or next season? It's like, well,
sure.
Darn it. Working with kids is hard over multiple seasons.
Maybe some binding that has to happen.
Yeah. That's Yeah, yeah, you're right. Spending a lot more time with the characters, in the characters' minds, and having them connect with each other makes a huge difference.
And they had more time to do that because there were very few actual action sequences.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a lot of everyone on their own, everyone alone.
Right.
Will's doing his thing. Lyra's doing her thing. Mrs. Coulter, Asriel, everyone's just doing their own thing separately, and no one's really working together, and you don't know who to trust.
Yep.
So yeah, this was much better season. I imagine it'll only improve next season. His Dark Material, season 3, Return of the King, where they throw the knife into Mordor and everyone can be happy again.
Yeah, totally. That's, yes.
That's how that works.
My brain is thoroughly racked. I got nothing. It was a fun season, like you said. Better than season 1 as far as character moments go. Season 3 is going to have to combine the powers, the strengths of both season 1 and season 2. Because shit is going to go down, and yes. I cannot wait. I think it's probably going to be 2022 when that comes out. Because I think they start filming in 2021.
If the pandemic ever ends. I get it.
Ugh.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one, but at least we got this. There's one bright, shiny spot in this year was I got to do this podcast with you again.
Aw, thank you. Same here.
Unless something should happen, unless either of us should change in a major way, we should, you know, get shot down in one of our air balloons or a demon attacks our demon. We will definitely be back in, I was going to say next year, in 2022 or whenever this happens.
Or whenever. Just whenever they decide to give it to us.
We'll be here.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for tuning in this season. It's meant a lot to us, as of course we just spent 45 minutes telling you.
That's the mandatory end of the episode where we say how much we love you guys and
yes,
how much we need external praise to exist as people.
All those things. Yeah, I mean, with this episode and this podcast episode being short and the last one, you can still send us feedback if you have some final thoughts on the episode. We're still around. You can email us at entertainment@swizzbold.com. That link is also in the show notes, and you can find us on all of the social medias at Swizzbold. This is bittersweet. It's sad to say goodbye, but I especially want to thank everyone who's supporting us on Patreon. If we have lots of other things going on, 3 Right Turns and 1 Weird Trick every week. If you are interested, you can become a patron. If you're not already, and I mean, come on, why wouldn't you be? Go to patreon.com/swizzbold. Right now, I want to especially thank all of our Fred level patrons by name: Angelo Morano, Arvind Rao, Brandon DeVito, Byron Rasmussen, George Pieberdell, Greg Rasp, James Taylor, Jared Harrelman, Lisa Singleton, Jordan Hoyt, Kira Grusho, Laura Luthi, Mark Hahn, Dave Satterley, Slava Kasraljevic, and Anoka Young. Thanks so much, you guys, and we'll see you next season for sure, if not sooner.
Next season for sure, and I would like to wish everybody a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happening this week.
In whatever world you're in.
Yes, it is a new year. It will no longer be 2020. Everything will still be the same, but at least you can write 2021 on shit instead of 2020.
Yes, exactly. That's looking at the bright side.
Yeah, silver lining.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.